echo my appreciation for your coming today. Nice to see you. Encourage you to get your Bible and come with me to the book of Matthew for just a few moments. In Matthew chapter 10, I read that during the earth life of our Lord, he called unto him his 12 disciples, gave them power to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Matthew 10:1. When sending them out on the limited commission, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He charged them in verse 8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. I'd like to call our attention to a miracle of healing this afternoon that was performed by the apostles, as reported in Matthew. In Acts chapter 4. I'm going to talk about the subject, the men involved, the miracle, the result, and the purpose. Let's take a note of the subject involved in this miracle of healing. In Acts chapter 4 and in verse 1, we read where, as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. That takes us back to Acts chapter 3 when Peter and John went up together in the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go in the temple, asked in alms, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. I want you to be impressed with some things about this certain man that was healed. He's introduced to us in verse 2 as a certain man. His name is not disclosed. Verse 2 also reports the condition of the subject. He was lame from his mother's womb. You might underscore that. Imagine. Being lame from birth, never walking. Also, verse 2 reports that he was laid daily at the temple gate. Would you be here today if somebody had to bring you? That's his only means by which he was able to be at the temple gate. Somebody laid him there, and that was done daily. Verse 3 says of this subject, that he asked in alms. Asked in alms. He's expecting something. Verse 5 says, when Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us, he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. You might underscore, expecting to receive something. There's no indication where Peter and John expected to receive something of the lame man. But the lame man expected to receive something of Peter and John. Now, those who proposed to have the power to heal folks like Peter and John today have that backwards. They expect to receive something from the subjects, don't they? They expect an alms of you. But that's backwards. That's the reverse of what we see in this Bible miracle of healing. Verse 11 says that he was healed. As a lame man which was healed, healed Peter and John. You might underscore the word healed. And according to chapter 4 and verse 22, the man was above 40 years old. Anybody here above 40 years old? Can you relate to this? Could you imagine being above 40 years old and never having walked? Being lame from your mother's womb and somebody laying you at the temple gate. That's the subject. Now notice Peter and John with me. The Bible says of Peter and John in verse 1 of chapter 3 that they went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer. If you'd been Peter to John, would you have gone up into the temple? And in verse 6, notice Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And so they gave what they had. They had something to give greater than silver and gold. That could only go so far for this fella. But they had the power to heal him. And so Peter said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Acts 3 and verse 6. You know, those today who propose to have the power need to give it. Right? Isn't that what the Lord said back in Matthew chapter 10? And in verse 8, "Freely ye have received, freely give." And Peter said, "Such as I have, give I thee." And so if they have it, they need to give it. And we know some people who are in need of healing, don't we? If they have it, why aren't they giving it? Let them tell us. But notice the miracle. That's the subject. That's the men of God that were involved in the healing, Peter and John. Notice some features of this miracle. In verse 6, they said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." This was done by the power of the Lord. In Acts 4, they're going to be questioned about that. In verse 9, Peter said, "If we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." Back up in verse 7, they had set them in the midst and asked, "By what power, or by what name have you done this?" And so to say "in the name of Jesus Christ" simply means by the power of Christ, by his authority, this was accomplished. As you took a look at the miracle, note in verse 7 that immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. This was not a progressive healing. It took place gradually over time. But immediately, the results were instantaneous, aren't they? You might circle that word "immediately." Verse 8 says, "He leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God." You might underscore those words. Leaping up, walked, entered, walking, leaping, praising God. That's quite a difference, isn't it? You didn't come out walking, leaping, right? We had to crawl before we walked. This fellow didn't have to crawl before he walked, really. Is that how it was when Peter said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk"? He said, "I've never walked before. How did I do that?" So he had to crawl around for a little while. He took one step and he was a little wobbly and he fell over. Took him several months to figure that out. No, the Bible says immediately, leaping and praising God. That's the nature of a Bible miracle of healing. Notice something else. Verse 9. All the people saw him walking and praising God. This thing, like Paul said in one of his conversations in the book of Acts, he said, this thing wasn't done in a corner. You know, sometimes there are those who propose something's been done and nobody saw it. It's kind of done behind the scenes. All the people saw. It was public. It was visible. Next. Verse 10 reports, They knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. Can you imagine being in the temple? Here you've walked past this fella that's laid at the temple gate. No telling how many times you passed by. Here he is laying there at the temple gate because he is laid daily. And now you see him walking, leaping, praising God. What an impression. They knew. Sometimes there are those nobody knows. Who is this fellow? Where did he come from? There's no mistaking the fact that this was the man who they knew sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. Chapter 4 and verse 9 says, the impotent man is made whole. Impotent to whole. That's the nature of the miracle. Underscore, the impotent made whole. Acts 4 and verse 9. Chapter 4 and verse 10 says, by him, that is by Christ, doth this man, listen, stand here before you whole. In chapter 3 and in verse 2, he was laid at the gate. Now he stands before you. That made quite an impression, wouldn't it? Laid, now he's standing before you. Whole. Underscore, stand here before you whole. In verse 14, beholding the man which was healed standing with them. Standing. You might underscore healed standing. And the Bible says in the last part of verse 14, they could say nothing against it. Nothing could be said against it. You couldn't take issue with it. No doubt. You might underscore could say nothing against it. Verse 14. Verse 16 refers to it as a notable miracle. They say, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them. What shall we do to these men? Well, we could believe what they're preaching. We could obey the Lord's message through his messengers. But notice, that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them. It was notable. Underscore that word notable. Also, it's described as a miracle that was manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. It was obvious to all that a miracle had been performed. To all them that dwell in Jerusalem. And it was undeniable. Verse 16. They said, we cannot deny it. I'd like to challenge those tonight who propose to have this power, that if they have it, to give it. And to perform a miracle of healing that is undeniable, manifest to all, notable, that nothing can be said against. Just like we find in this case. But I'm going to suggest to you we've got more power than they do. Because we're going to forbid that they should raise anybody from the dead. Barring the Lord comes first. We're going to forbid this week that any them raise anybody from the dead. We're gonna say that those who are in the graves are going to stay in the graves this week unless the Lord should come first. We're going to forbid them to raise anybody from the dead. Now notice the result of this miracle of healing. What's the result of it? Verse 10. Acts 3:10. The Bible says they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And so they were filled with wonder and amazement. Chapter 4 and verse 4 says, many of them which heard the word believed. So, result in faith, didn't it? Faith. In fact, that's one of the purposes of Bible miracles, was to produce faith. Remember when Moses was sent to Pharaoh, that they may believe. He's given some signs to perform. Such activity on the part of the apostles served the purpose of confirming the word. In our reading from Mark chapter 16, the Lord commissioned the apostles, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 15. And verse 20 says, they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. A miracle of healing, such as performed by Peter and John, healing a lame man, confirmed the word that was preached by these men of God. The Hebrew writer talked about that in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. He said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. And so one purpose was to confirm the word. It demonstrated that these were teachers from God, that God approved of these men and their message. Just like Nicodemus said of Jesus in John 3, "We know that thou art a teacher come from God. No man can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him." John 3 and in verse 2. And so when you think about a miracle of healing, and folks today propose that these continue, and that men today have this kind of power, just read Acts 3 and 4 and compare and contrast what you see here and what is reported today. And you'll see a vast difference, won't you? Now, miraculous powers of healing like this are very limited. When you get to listing those in the New Testament who performed a miracle of healing, it's a short list, really. Who's on that list? Well, the Lord was on that list, certainly. Remember in Luke chapter 4 when he was in the temple, there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, Luke 4:17, and he read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And we find it reported in the book of Matthew chapter 4 and in verse 24 that his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Verse 23 says, "Healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people." And the Lord gave such power to heal to the apostles, as we saw in the book of Matthew in chapter 10, when he sent them out to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Matthew 10 and verse 1. Also, the 70 were given power to heal in Luke chapter 10. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. And in verse 9, he said, "Heal the sick and say unto them, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you." And so, you've got the Lord, you've got the apostles, you've got the 70. And then there were those who were endowed with spiritual gifts, which are identified in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There were 9 of those. They're identified in verses 8 through 10 when he talked about wisdom, knowledge, faith, and then mentions gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, diverse kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. And so 9 supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you propose to have the power to perform a miracle of healing, are you the Lord? Are you one of the apostles? Can't be one of the apostles, because there's nobody qualified today to be an apostle. Had to be an eyewitness of the Lord after his resurrection, Acts 1, 21 through 23. Are you one of the 70? No. Then you must be one of those that have received the gifts of the Holy Spirit, have received the gifts of healing. But that can't be either. Because how do those gifts given, how were those gifts received? They were given and received through laying on the apostles' hands. In Acts chapter 8, when the apostles heard that Samaria received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, verse 14, who when they were come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. They laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. And Simon saw that through laying on the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given. That's through verse 18. Now, these gifts were non-transferable. Once the apostles laid their hands on a person, they couldn't then lay their hands on somebody and impart that power. We know that to be the case because back in Acts chapter 6, Philip had the hands of the apostles laid upon him. Acts 6, 5 through 6. And here he is in Acts 8 in Samaria. Why didn't he just lay his hands on those folks? Because through laying on the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given. And so when all of the apostles died and all those upon whom they laid hands died, what happened to the gifts of healing and the working of miracles? They died too, didn't they? And that shows the fact that they were temporary in duration. 1 Corinthians 13, Paul mentions three of the nine gifts and says in verse 8, whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. And that's true of the other six gifts as well, like the gifts of healing and the working of miracles. Such has failed, ceased, and vanished away. And so we should not expect today to see a man like this man who was lame from his mother's womb and had been laid at the temple gate, whose ankles immediately received strength and he's found now walking and leaping and praising God. That immediately the impotent man is made whole. We deny that such miraculous healing takes place today. The Lord's not here to do it. The apostles have all died and they're not here to do it. The 70 aren't here to do it. And since the apostles and all those upon whom they laid hands have deceased, then such power has ceased. It's failed. It's vanished away. And it's no longer necessary. It served its purpose. The purpose we mentioned was that of confirmation of the word. And in Galatians chapter 3, Paul said in verse 15, brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. And if that be true of a man's covenant, how much more so of God's covenant? Once confirmed, always confirmed. And so once the word was confirmed, there's no need for us to see a miracle today to confirm it. We have all the confirmation we need. We have all the evidence we need to cause us to believe. I don't have to see a miracle today to believe. In fact, when John closed his gospel account in John chapter 20, 30 and 31, he said, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. And so we have all the evidence we need in the recorded testimony of competent witnesses. The question is, will we believe their record? Will we? Wouldn't you have liked to have been there to have witnessed that miracle of healing? But you know, sometimes there are those who would hear this and they think, well, you must not believe in healing. I believe in healing, just not miraculous healing. I believe, as James taught in James chapter 5 and in verse 15, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And that, as he said in verse 16, pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I believe that. I believe that God has the power to heal through prayer, as prayer. The power of prayer is mentioned. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Through natural means, not through miraculous means like we saw in Acts chapter 4. Appreciate your attention. Hope the lesson has been helpful to you. Sometimes there are those who will say, why is it that in Mark chapter 16 you emphasize verse 16, he that believeth is baptized shall be saved, but not the signs that follow? Because the need for the signs ceases to exist. The word's been confirmed. But the need for salvation continues. As long as there are men and women who need to be saved, there'll be a need for folks to believe and to be baptized. And so we'll continue to go. We'll continue to preach the gospel. We'll continue to preach, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We'll continue to speak the word because it's by the word that faith is produced. As faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10 verse 17. And we'll continue to plead with folks to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins. There's a malady that's far worse than any physical, and that is the wages of sin is death, Romans 6 and verse 23. And the Lord who had the power to cause this lame man to leap, he can bring you up from your sins. There are those who are dead spiritually who need to be brought back to life. And you can be. Ephesians 2:1. You who are dead in trespasses and sins, yet now hath he quickened. And all things have been made ready that you might be lifted up if you'll give the Lord your hand. He can bring deliverance to you. Believe on him, repent as commanded by him, confess your faith in him, be buried with him in baptism, and be faithful unto him all your days, so that heaven can be your home. If you need prayers, we're here to help you. As we stand and sing, we invite you to come.